Welcome to The Last American Vagabond. Well, we talk a lot about sound money, decentralization, and self-sustainability. And nothing is more sound, decentralized, and sustainable than gold and silver. That's not to say that the markets aren't manipulated like everything in the corporate world, but sound money is something that truly transcends the idea of the establishment, and that will be around long after its inevitable demise. If history has taught us anything, it's that power structures always come to an end, yet sound money carries on. So joining me today is Colin Plume, president of Noble Gold, an organization that has taken the initiative to ensure that the last American vagabond can continue bringing you the truth that is so desperately needed. Welcome to the show, Charles.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. Happy to be on here.
Yeah, welcome. It's good to get you guys on. You guys have some very, very interesting insights on some things that are very important to people today. So to begin, I want to kind of talk about your history in finance, the company, and one aspect in particular I find interesting is the divergence from kind of the mainstream finance, if you will, and your focus instead on gold and silver. So would you go into your history a little bit for us and kind of what brought you to today?
Sure. No, absolutely. My business partner, Charles Thorngren, and I, we've been in the precious metals space together for a little over a decade. We were also, before that, had some very interesting backgrounds. He was had a stock background for many years, and I was actually in commercial real estate. And we sort of came together at the same time when we realized that the markets, stock market and the real estate market was really set up. And we had more and more people asking us about other products and other things that were out there that were a little bit more stable. And so it brought us together in the precious metal space. And obviously we've seen, you know, gold and silver perform very well over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years. And it's been a safe haven. So it's something that a lot of people don't know that they can invest into. Many investors say, I didn't even know I could own gold, because I know that they banned gold till 1971 for homeowners or for people that wanted to own gold at home. And so it's an investment that people that know about it, that like it, you know, they'll put some gold and silver away and sock it away in a safe or a safety deposit box, or they'll protect their IRA with it. But it's still something very new to a lot of investors, because most U.S. investors are heavily invested in the stock market. And so this is something that a lot of people aren't aware of. And we were able to shed some light. We really focus on education, and we have all kinds of different informational guides to explain the gold and silver market, to explain, you know, what's happening with inflation. We have a great ebook on your website that talks about inflation and, you know, the real numbers of inflation. And I know the government comes out and says inflation's 1.8 or 2%, but if you read our ebook, and it really exposes what the true inflationary numbers are. If you look at inflation last year, if you use the same mathematical calculations that they used when Reagan was in office, inflation last year was above 9% and even above 10% in September of last year. So we really focus on education and getting people some understanding of the precious metals markets. And, you know, that's really our history of the company.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It seems almost, you know, shockingly apparent today that the current system is just wildly unsustainable. And that's something you were kind of touching on there with inflation. And it's, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why sound money is so very important. So what are your thoughts on the future of the dollar and its possible collapse? Is that something you foresee in the near future?
Well, absolutely. You know, there's only two currencies that have survived over the last 150 years, the dollar and the pound. The pound was the world's reserve currency until 1944. And then they went to Bretton Woods Exchange and decided that the pound was being inflated, that there was too much debt in Great Britain because of all the wars and problems they were having there. And then the dollar became the world's reserve currency. Well, now, the world, you know, all the major countries of the East, China, Middle East countries are all saying the dollar's inflated, the dollar's having problems, let's replace the dollar as the world's reserve currency. And I think that's something that will happen. They've talked about it. Many countries are doing transactions in gold instead of the dollar because they don't want to do a large trade of oil or other items in a depreciating asset. So I do think that the dollar is destined for some kind of collapse. We've seen some hints of it this year. And, you know, with the stock market having some big tumbles over the last few days, I think we're going to see more of that to come.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And I'd also say that the rise of the yuan petrodollar is something that's really starting to eclipse the dollar. We've seen that happen with a lot of different countries like Pakistan and, you know, a lot of the large countries, Russia, China, kind of coming together and starting to just basically, you know, usurp the dollar from all of its positions right now. And that's, I think that's, we're going to see that happen more and more. I think the question would be whether or not the dollar will collapse completely, but I definitely agree. I see that coming. So if and when it does happen, collapse or just, you know, a drastic drop, to what effect do you think that will have on the gold and silver markets?
Well, the gold and silver markets will have to go up because anytime you have a replacement of a currency, there has to be something stable to back it up. That's why our country was backed by the gold standard for so many years, and it was so effective. So I think the gold and silver market will move up tremendously because they'll have to have some kind of gold or silver backing to whatever currency they use. The yuan, they've talked about many years backing it at least partially by gold, maybe 50% backed by gold, which I think would push the value of that currency up. But when I, you know, people tell me, they say a collapse of the dollar. When you see inflation, and if you read our ebook, which talks about inflation being 9-10% last year, I mean, when you see that kind of erosion in value for people that are keeping money in a savings account or keeping it in a CD, and really if you're losing 9 or 10% of your value every year, that is somewhat of a collapse. Obviously, it's not a 30 or 40 or 50% collapse, but to lose 10%, 9-10% of the value of the dollar year in and year out, and that's just easy math. I mean, anyone that goes to the supermarket, anyone goes to the store, anyone that pays health insurance, they know the cost of all those things are going up tremendously. When will the dollar completely collapse? I don't know. But I think what we're seeing now, the erosion of buying power, is in essence a partial collapse. And we're already seeing that. Then if we see the stock market continue to tumble, you know, we saw the Dow drop 6% over the last 3 or 4 days. If we see that pullback and we see a continuous sell-off of equity markets, I think we're going to see the dollar continue to tumble and lose more value.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that's something that's pretty much inevitable at this point with all the things we're discussing. But one aspect in regard to gold and silver is, you know, and we've covered this many times on The Last American Vagabond, how entities such as Deutsche Bank and others are manipulating the gold and silver markets with essentially only like a slap on the wrist once they get found out. So do you feel that precious metals markets today are manipulated? And if so, how should that affect one's investment in those markets?
It has been manipulated in many different ways. A glaring example, and anyone can look this up, is when we were seeing the big run-up in gold and silver from 2008 to 2011, silver was pushed in the mid to high 40s. You saw all the big banks come together and they raised the margin calls on silver. In essence, what they did is they made it more expensive for hedge traders and large traders to buy silver on an option. What that did was that immediately collapsed the market. So you have that happening. The big banks know about it. They're aware of it. They make it more expensive and more difficult to buy silver when it's running up because they want to push the price down and take advantage of the market. So JP Morgan got, you know, many, many years of litigation, which anyone can look up and see. And it typically happens when you see a commodity moving up. You know, the U.S. government doesn't have any incentive to make the gold or silver market go up because it makes the dollar go down. So they're going to try to do anything, help out the banks or the large institutions, because that's who they're in bed with. So I think we've seen a lot of manipulation. I think the prices where they're at for gold and silver are undervalued. Silver's, you know, 75% lower than where it was 6 years ago. So I think there's a lot of upside. And you look at all the uses for that metal, I mean, there's thousands and thousands of uses for silver, and it continues to grow. So I do think there's manipulation, but eventually you can't just continue to print money. So eventually that will dissipate, and we'll see that run up in metals like we did in 2008 to 2011. And I think that people that are invested there will be very happy that they diversified into, you know, physical metal.
Absolutely. One thing that frustrates me, though, is the fact, like I said about the small, you know, the slap on the wrist. I mean, ultimately, I would even argue that possibly the government's complicit in this whole action, because it seems like these companies will make just gross amounts of money in these manipulations, yet then get a small fine that doesn't even cut into that profit for them. So it really does seem like a lot of complicity there.
I absolutely agree. I think that when you look at the JP Morgan lawsuits from 2011, no one's been held accountable. People that got hurt by that run up and pull back, the average American that was investing into it was obviously frustrated and upset, and there's been no repercussions. And that happens time in and time again. I don't think there's any reason that that's not going to continue to happen. I just think that the markets eventually will correct, and you'll see, with the Dow, 24, 25 times higher than where it was when Obama got elected in 2008. And I think really that those numbers are manipulated. I don't think we're seeing companies seeing the kind of growth that should translate into that kind of percentage growth in the Dow. And I think that people right now are looking to diversify before this big correction.
Absolutely. So with all that in mind, though, with all those manipulations in mind, do you see gold as more of a long-term investment, or like a safety net, or like an immediate potential for profit, or possibly all three?
I think that we're going to see some short-term spikes in precious metals. I think anyone that invests into precious metals, the way that they should look at it is it's similar to buying like homeowners insurance. As a lot of my clients look at it and say, they see, the market's in trouble. They see manipulation. They see a lot of overinflated or bloated markets. So what they do is they buy metals. They put it away, they protect their IRA with precious metals, and they're just looking at a hedge. I do think it's something that you want to look at more long term. It's not an investment that, when people come to us, it's not like one of those investments that you're going to turn, 10,000 into a million overnight, but it's a safety play. And if you can continue to make 7 to 10% on your money in metals. Gold was up 13% last year. If it can continue to have that kind of growth year in and year out, I think most of our investors would be very happy with that growth. The high side of it going 20-30% per year, if we saw a major collapse, that could happen too. But I think it's a conservative investment. It's something that you want to put away. And make sure that you save it either for yourself or for your kids. And so I don't think you should look at gold and silver as something that is it's not a quick gain type investment.
I absolutely agree. And I think it's more of the conspiracy theorist or the prepper in me that sees gold as more of a, societal collapse safety net. That's kind of how I've always thought of gold and silver. Is it's something that, because it's like I said in the beginning, it's something that kind of transcends all of this and will always essentially have value to some degree. So I agree. I think it's something that we should all invest in, but for very, safety net type of reasons. But so if we could shift gears a bit, what are your thoughts on cryptocurrency today? Because we're talking a lot about just currency in general and the rise and fall of different establishments. How do you think cryptocurrency plays into all this? Do you see it as a viable investment or a fad or a bubble, as many are calling it today?
Cryptocurrencies have been around for a long time. They've been around since the 80s. Really, the reason that we know about Bitcoin and Ethereum and some of the other, in 2009, whoever created Bitcoin was able to make the blockchain technology actually work, which basically means is that whoever created this technology was able to eliminate the, which in essence means when you would send one Bitcoin, let's say I sent one Bitcoin to you, that transaction is verified. And so there's no way that I could send it to you and then send it to your friend. And so actually the transactions are verified and authenticated. And that's why cryptocurrencies are where they are today, because of that simple idea that they can actually verify the transaction. And the person on the other end, when they receive it, they know that they got a Bitcoin. And so if they're buying goods with it, they can send those goods to the other party and it's an authentic transaction, which is really not much different than sending a bank wire. So that technology and that blockchain blockchain technology is not going anywhere. I think what we're seeing in the markets with the cryptocurrencies, you saw this unbelievable run up. You saw this demand. You saw the Chicago's exchange market actually get into the Bitcoin market. Bitcoin is something that can be exchanged on the markets now. So I think that we saw an unbelievable run up, and I think we're seeing a correction now. We're starting to stabilize, and we're going to see a lot of these coins that are these smaller coins that nobody's heard of. A lot of them will go by the wayside. And I think there'll probably be 5 to 7 coins that will eventually show up and rise and actually be viable currencies in the market. Which ones will show, I don't know. Bitcoin is the most exchanged, it's the most traded. And so a lot of people know it. And there's huge companies that are already using it, Overstock, Expedia. You can book a trip on Expedia. A lot of people aren't aware. With Bitcoin. So there are exchanges and places that you can use it. There's 500 or 600 companies that you can actually use. So I do think that everything will rise up and there will be some left after this exchange, but there's going to be some of these smaller coins that people are going to invest into and they don't know anything about it. And I think a lot of those are going to fall by the wayside. So you really have to be careful when you're investing into cryptocurrencies. It's a market that you want to make sure that you do your research. We have information, we can send you information about the markets and how it works and blockchain technology. So we can educate someone, but I do say it's a different investment than gold and silver. It's much more speculative.
Yeah, I always caution people to be very prudent and really do your due diligence with these things, because there's so many things out there that I often advocate, greatly advocate for the idea of the decentralized peer-to-peer aspect of this. I do actually right. think that this whole thing is kind of a reaction to this rising kind of awareness of the manipulations taking place in markets as well as just government in general. So I think people are kind of awakening to this and reaching for something new. But I do agree there's a lot of manipulation taking place. But I always fear that conversation, because many will latch onto that and then argue for regulation because of it. And I think that is, we just need more aware of what we're investing in, as is always a wise thing to say.
Yeah, absolutely, Ryan. And I think you hit on something that, and I almost forget about it because I've been doing this for a long time, is one of the reasons that they believe Bitcoin was created in 2009 was a reaction to the bank bailouts. That's the big speculative idea, is that whoever created this said that they were fed up of the banks continuing to get bailed out, and how the government and the Fed were all connected, and they felt that it was a disservice to the average American, and that's why they wanted to create a currency that was independent, which is what you hit on. That is the beauty behind it. And for someone that believes that you should be able to independently control your wealth, you shouldn't have a currency that's manipulated consistently with quantitative easing and, you know, these artificially low interest rates, which really hurt the market in the long run. Having a cryptocurrency that's independent of that, that's not regulated by any country or any bank, gives that freedom that a lot of investors are looking for. And I think it's the premise is good. I think that everybody would want a currency that can't be so easily manipulated. They just need to figure out the system and make it smoother and easier for average Americans to use it, or average investors to use it.
Yes, absolutely. And you, the one point that always gets me that you touched on there is the idea of just the banking interaction. That's something that the fractional reserve banking and the idea of just how it's just legalized gambling in a lot of ways with the way our money is used. That's one thing for me that always stands out, that I like the peer-to-peer idea of all of this. You know, I think that blockchain technology, more so than just currency, that's one thing people tend to misunderstand, is that blockchain technology goes well beyond currency. I feel this is, as I'm sure many do today, is the future of where we're going in so many different ways. It really kind of spearheads this decentralization revolution in my mind. I definitely think that's something that we need to latch onto a lot. But, you know, there like for today, for instance, there was a major drop in the markets. And a lot of people are attributing that to the fact that three major banks banned credit card purchases of cryptocurrency. So what are your opinions on we talked about manipulation there, on government manipulation in regard to cryptocurrency, which a lot of it's kind of statements and scare tactics like this, but, you know, what do you think? How much can that happen today?
Well, and I think, Ryan, Facebook also came out last week and they were banning ads on Facebook, which was a reaction to what happened during the election. They're obviously going much more conservative on their advertising approach. And I think what basically they want to put a halt, and what they're looking at is a lot of these ICOs, because there is going to be fraud out there. Anytime you have this much money, it's a $1 trillion industry, you have this much money moving into it, you're going to see these kind of frauds and scams come into play. But then you look at investors that, you know, invested in Bitcoin last year and they have a retirement account that was, you know, doing pretty well, and they were able to 20 or 30 times grow their retirement account in Bitcoin or Ethereum. So there are these coins that people are going to lose a lot of money, and they're not going to know enough about it, and they're going to invest into it and lose a lot. And that's why I understand that these banks are taking this hard stance, because they're trying to protect the average investor that doesn't know what they're doing and make sure that they, you know, kind of regulate this situation. But ultimately, you can't regulate this market, because it's, you know, it's free form. You know, the way that the mining and the transactions are verified is, you know, once the transaction happens, you have the miners that verify it, make sure that it's authentic, and they push it through. And that's not controlled by any government or institution. So you are seeing them start to ban things, but then you're seeing things like the CEO of Fidelity, who says they're already invested in mining. They're investing in mining. They're going to continue to invest in mining. So I think as a front, as a PR move, they're banning it. But I think behind closed doors, they're investing into it. They know the technology, as you mentioned, is going to change the world in so many ways. One of the uses for Ethereum that I think is fascinating that they're exploring, and it will happen eventually, is that eventually they want to be able to put everybody's health information in a closed circuit, so that instead of all these, you know, millions and millions of dollars in costs every time, let's say you get an x-ray and then you go to a new doctor and that new doctor can't see that x-ray, they'd be able to access all that information for you on the blockchain in a private network. And that would save time, money, so many different applicable uses for using that, and being able to streamline the process of you going and seeing a doctor and them having access to know that 25 years ago that something happened to you, and they can see it all there and really make an educated decision. That's a really exciting use for the blockchain. And those are the uses that will continue to grow and grow, and there'll be more applications. I mean, I could go on and on. There's so many more applications for blockchain. So I think as a PR move, they are saying we're banning it, or we're not going to use it. But behind closed doors, they're using the technology, and they're also investing into it, which I find pretty interesting.
Yeah, that you hit on an interesting point there for me that I've talked about a lot, and it's really very deceptive. It's a lot. It's all about control today, and clearly, right now, as it stands, they're very aware that they can't control this. It's something that scares them, I think, and it threatens their other investments and their control over the markets. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot of, is this manipulation for the exact purpose of, like, right now, it's dropped so much. Now you're seeing a lot of these large buys come in, and these large amounts of buys for people that it's clearly not just one investor. It's a large amount of money coming in, swooping in and taking a lot of this. We saw with the futures market, where all of a sudden it just dropped. That's a topic we could fill a whole show with, right? That there's clearly manipulation in place so they can come in and buy it up. So it shows you that they see the value here. So then it also shows you the deceptive nature of their comments when they're making it sound like today, interestingly enough, in an article today, which I was just alluding to, the idea that these banks are stopping people from allowing to buy crypto with their credit cards. Their premise for that was the idea that first, that it's volatile, which a lot of it comes from their statements, but that it's the idea of money laundering, which to me is the joke of the century, when you got banks like Bank of America and these different groups calling out money laundering from cryptocurrency, which we know historically and even today happens largely through their institutions. So it's just very, very critical of them.
Yeah. And how can you launder money through your credit card? I mean, I don't know, maybe you can, but it seems that's money that, you know, they have on credit. So they should have verified who the person buying it with is. And so it does seem somewhat confusing, the messaging they're sending out, similar to Mark Zuckerberg 2 weeks before this Facebook ban are on cryptocurrency advertisements on Facebook, he was 2 weeks before that saying that cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology is going to change the world and is such a benefit. So he's coming out as the CEO saying it's going to work and it's going to be great. And then 2 weeks later, they're banning it for ads. So I think that there's just going to be, you know, with this pullback in cryptocurrencies, you know, that's created some fear for the average investor. They're trying to control and manipulate that average investor. But what's going to happen when, you know, let's say Bitcoin goes up to 100,000, like many of these experts have predicted, and all of these banks and institutions have blocked the average investor from buying it? Is that a way of manipulating the markets? I don't know. But it seems like if some of these experts are right, Bitcoin does hit 100 and Ethereum hits 20,000, and all these institutions, Facebook and the banks, are saying you can't buy it, they're really trying to keep the average investor out of this investment. So it's interesting what's happening out there, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. And another interesting point to throw in there is that right now, there are a lot of cryptocurrencies coming out with the idea of very private transactions. But right now, for instance, like Bitcoin, it's all public transactions. So if there was some idea of money laundering, it's very easy to go through and see where it's happening. So it's a facade. Absolutely. As far as I'm concerned. And it really all comes back to a deregulated type of market where we need to just simply do our due diligence. And, you know, that's the real idea of a free market. If you put your money in something you don't understand and you lose it to a scam, that's on you. Right. And I think I'd rather have that than an overly manipulated government regulated market. That's just me.
I'm with you on that, Ryan. And I was going to say, too, you know, kind of going back to gold and silver. And part of the reason that Charles and I got into this initially is that, you know, there's different ways you can buy precious metals. There's ETFs or leveraged accounts or commingled accounts, which are really all the same thing. It means the investor doesn't own it themselves. They own a share of it, or they're partners with somebody else. We don't do anything like that. All the gold and silver that you own, even if it's held at a depository because that's what you want, it's all segregated. Every client has their own shelf. We actually are the only firm in the country that we have the depository take a photo of the client's metals and we send that to them. So either we have it stored or we send it to you. And that was another reason, kind of going back to the initial reason that we got into this, is we wanted investments that people own by themselves, that are not owned in an ETF or a mutual fund, because there's so many fees and so many things that get eaten away. And really just holding it yourself and owning it yourself is something that most people want. And so many of the investments nowadays, you never get to hold it. You never really own it. And you know, that's a scary thing, especially if we see a major pullback and you don't own that gold. It's just part of an ETF. Who knows if there's enough gold there to fulfill all those contracts. And, you know, we could spend a lot of time on that, on ETFs. But, you know, that is another reason we got into this, is that all the investments with us, the client owns, are there. Same thing with cryptocurrency. The client owns it. It's theirs. So we really you don't have to worry about any kind of transparency with us, because the client, it's theirs. They own it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's just kind of goes back to all the stuff we're talking about today, and just the idea of, you know, there's so much manipulation going on today that seems like the future where we want to try to aim this entire thing. So, you know, thank you for joining me today and all this information we've covered. I've got one final question for you that I always like to ask people in your position. What would you recommend for new investors, possibly, you know, one specific investment for, you know, like the best place to start for someone just getting into this kind of idea?
Well, I think there's different investment strategies you can look into, and I'm not a financial advisor, so I do have to preface that, you know, we're in the metals business and we're in, you know, the cryptocurrency business, so we help investors get into those. But I think, you know, right now for the first time investor, getting into, you know, either they have an old 401k or an IRA and they're unhappy with the results, and they want to get it into something tangible, precious metals are a great option. Or maybe just getting some silver or gold at home, you know, getting some metals in your hands. We can ship the metal to you. And just starting that way, taking, you know, money that you have set aside and putting it in precious metals and socking it away for a rainy day. So, you know, I think getting into something, getting your hands dirty and kind of getting into some investment is the best way to learn about it. And so, you know, whatever amount an investor can start with, the sooner the later investments. And we get a lot of people in their 20s and 30s calling us asking that exact same question. And what we do is we send them our guides. We have guides about silver or gold, cryptocurrencies, and we send them all the information and we try to educate them as best as possible and give them as much insight as we can. And then ultimately they make the decision if it's something that's right for them.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Colin. I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Make sure you guys get in there and check out Noble Gold, a just depth of information for all the stuff we talked about today. And make sure everyone out there, you stay vigilant. See you next time.
We'll be right back. Thank you.